Three Ages. In the agrarian age, the rich were those who owned a castle that overlooked large tracts of fertile agricultural land. These people were known as the monarchs and the nobles. If you were not born into this group, you were an outsider with very little chance of becoming an insider. The 90-10 rule controlled life. Therefore, the 10% who were in power were there because of marriage, birth, or conquest. The other 90% were serfs or peasants who worked the land but owned nothing. During the agrarian age, if you were a good, hard-working person, you were respected. The idea of being diligent was handed down from parent to child. It was also when the idle rich began to be loathed. 90% of the people worked to support the other 10% who appeared not to be working. That idea was also handed down from parent to child. These ideas continue to be popular and are still handed down from generation to generation. Then came the industrial age, and wealth shifted from agricultural land to real estate. Improvements such as buildings, factories, warehouses, mines, and residential homes for the workers were placed on top of the land. Improvements. Suddenly, rich, fertile agricultural land dropped in value because the wealth shifted to the owners of the buildings upon the land. In fact, an interesting thing happened. Suddenly, rich, fertile land became less valuable than rocky land, where farming was difficult. Rocky land suddenly became more valuable because it was cheaper than fertile land. It could also hold taller buildings such as skyscrapers or factories, and it often contained resources such as oil, iron, copper that fueled the industrial age. When the shift in ages occurred, many farmers' net worth went down. To maintain their standard of living, they had to work harder and farm more land than before. It was during the industrial age that the go-to-school-so-you-can-find-a-job idea became popular. In the agrarian age, a formal education was not necessary, since professions were handed down from parent to child. Bakers taught their children to be bakers, and so on. Near the end of this era, the idea of a job, or the idea of one job for life, became popularized. You went to school, got that one job for life, worked your way up the corporate ladder or up the union ladder, and when you retired, the company and the government took care of your needs. In the industrial age, those not of noble birth could become the rich and powerful. Rags-to-riches stories spurred on the ambitious. Entrepreneurs started with nothing and became billionaires. When Henry Ford decided to mass-produce the automobile, he found some cheap, rocky land that farmers did not want near a small town known as Detroit, and an industry was born. The Ford family became, in essence, the new nobility, and anyone around them who did business with them also became the new, rich nobility. New names became as prestigious as those of kings and queens, names such as Rockefeller, Stanford, and Carnegie. People often respected as well as despised them for their great wealth and power. In the industrial age, as during the agrarian age, however, only a few controlled most of the wealth. The 90-10 rule still held true, although this time the 10% was not determined by birth, but by determination itself. The 90-10 rule held true simply because it took great effort and coordination, as well as a lot of money, people, land, and power, to build and control the wealth. For example, to start an automobile company or an oil or mining company is still capital-intensive. It takes massive amounts of money, lots of land, and many smart, formally educated people to build that type of company. On top of that, you often must get through years of bureaucratic red tape, such as environmental studies, trade agreements, labor laws, and so on, to get such a business off the ground. In the industrial age, the standard of living went up for most people, but the control of real wealth continued to remain in the hands of a few. The rules have changed.